Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet. Yesterday we read the first half of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah talks about, number one, the mashkon, that even though we don't take a mashkon from women, slaves, and ketanim, and minors, but if they give voluntarily their shekel, we accept it from them. But, on the other hand, a nachri and a kuti that give on a voluntary basis, we do not accept from them. Then the Mishnah went on to discuss the karbanot, kinei zavim, the kinei zavot, the kinei yelodot, the chatot, the ashamot, that a nachri and possibly a kuti cannot bring. And then the Mishnah laid out a principle, which is anything that can be brought on a voluntary basis, the nachri and the kuti can bring. Anything that cannot be brought on a voluntary basis, they cannot bring. And it invoked the pasuk in Ezra, which says that, lo lachem velanu, leave note, bayit lelokeinu, that you cannot have a share in the building of the Mikdash. And again, let's get into more details about all of these items in today's Gemara. Then the Mishnah continues. This Mishnah in Yerushalmi is actually three different Mishnayot. As I mentioned yesterday, the Mishnayot in the Yerushalmi are lifted out of the Bavli and stuck into the Gemara Yerushalmi. So number one is that even the Yerushalmi speaking, they're not necessarily speaking about the Mishnah that we see inside what's in the printed Yerushalmi, because these are what we call the Bavli Mishnayot. And number two is that you get situations here where they combine three different Mishnayot into one Mishnah, whereas in the Yerushalmi it's broken up into three Mishnayot with each piece of the Gemara on it. So all they did here was consolidate three Mishnayot together, and then all the Gemara will be together, more along the lines of a look of a Bavli. But that was just added in later, and that's why it looks this way. Ve'elu Shechavin be, well, we have it in our gear says kalbon. The original Yerushalmi gear says have it in bekulbon. So who is chayavin kulbon? Girsa here is interesting. The question is the word kohanim added here? Some of the girsaot have ve'elu shechayavin bekulbon, kohanim, levi'im, v'yisraelim, v'gerim, v'avadim meshucharim. So who is chayavin kulbon would be anybody who is chayavin machatzita shekel. So levi'im, yisraelim, gerim, and avadim meshucharim were already in the previous Mishnah. It's listed those individuals that were chayavin in machatzita shekel. Avalo, who doesn't give kulbon, are the people who are pturim in the previous Mishnah. So our Mishnah reads, kohanim, nashim, vavadim, ktanim. Others take out the word kohanim here. So the question is, does this Mishnah follow the position from the previous Mishnah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that the kohanim are chayavim to give shekel? And that's why it would say here those are chayavim would include the word kohanim in it, and those that are not would not include the word kohanim. Or does this Mishnah follow the position of Rabbi Yehuda or ben Bukhri that say that kohanim are not chayavim in machatzita shekel? So if you think there are chayavim, then you would have the word kohanim in the first line of the Mishnah, and you would not have them here in the second line of the Mishnah, and vice versa, depending on who you think the Mishnah is like. If you think the Mishnah is running like Rabbi Yehuda and Ben Bukhri, then it would have the girsa that we have currently in the Mishnah. If you thought it was like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, then you would add in the word kohanim on the first line and then eliminate it from the next two lines in the Mishnah. A shukel, again here, Ayyadei Kohen will only apply if you think the Mishnah is following the position of Rabbi Yehuda and Ben Bukhri. If you think it's following Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you would eliminate it from the girsa here. Ayyadei means that you're doing it on behalf of. So you're giving a machatzi shekel for yourself, and you're also giving it on behalf of one of these individuals that is patur. So it would be Ayyadei Yisha, Ayyadei Eved, Ayyadei Katan. In that case, they are not obligated to give a chatzi shekel, but you're giving it on their behalf. So you're giving it on behalf of yourself, plus, you're giving it on behalf of them. So again, if the Kohen is Chayav, then he doesn't belong in this list. If a Kohen is Patur, then he does belong in this list. So here, you're Patur from the Kulbon. You don't have to give the Kulbon because you are giving voluntarily for people who do not have to give the Machatzita Shekel. And then, Vim Shakal al Yado, Vayadei Chaveiro. On the other hand, if he gives on behalf of himself, Vayadei Chaveiro, and for his friend, Chayav bi Kulbon, Mechad, then he does have to give this Kulbon, to give one Kulbon. Rabbi Meir Amer, Bet Kulbonot. You have to give two Kulbons. So this Kulbon, Machloket, between Rabbi Meir and the Tanakhama, or the Chachamim, as to what this Kulbon serves as. The Chachamim say that the Kulbon is the cost or price of changing the coin from a full shekel into half shekel. So here, if you have a whole shekel that you bring to the Mikdash, but you're really supposed to bring two half shekels, you're giving for yourself, and for your friend. Each of you should have brought independently a half shekel. So in that case, we ask you to put up the kubon, the money, to split it into two half shekels. So that's why in that case, we force you to give the kubon, because there's no reason that you should have been bringing it together. You should have brought it separately. You're doing it out of matter of convenience. You bring it together with your friend. On the other hand, when you give it involuntarily, for the woman, for the eved, for the katan, in that case, they're not obligated to bring in a chatzi shekel. So here, we're giving for them anyway, even though you're not obligated, we're not going to charge you the extra amount of the kubon to split it from a shekel into two half shekels, because in the first place, the whole half shekel that you're giving is extra. It wasn't necessary to give. So the fact that you're giving it voluntarily, we're not going to ask you to add in another kubon. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, thinks that you're chayav in two kubonot. There are two ways to look at Rabbi Meir. One way to look at Rabbi Meir is to say, he's just a chachamim, but he says that every half shekel requires a kubon for the changing. So instead here, when you have two chatzi shekels that you were supposed to give, and you combine it or consolidate it onto a single shekel, then you want to go to split it, you have to give a kubon for each half shekel that it's going to be split into. So that could be one way to view Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir just says that the cost of breaking the coin into two half shekels is a kubon for each half shekel. And that's why he says two, whereas the Chachamim says one kubon to split it into the shekel into two half shekels, because each, only one person's bringing it, so you just give it once. Rabbi Meir says, well, this is really supposed to be two independent half shekels. Each one of you is chayav to give a kubon for the changing. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that Rabbi Meir believes fundamentally that you have to give a kubon to every shekel. Min HaTorah, which we'll see later in today's daf, the Torah says zeyitnu, that you must give the coin that Moshe Rabbeinu gave in the Midbar. And that half shekel, if you give less than that, you haven't qualified or you haven't been yotzei the mitzvah of giving half a shekel. In order to ensure that you definitely gave the half shekel of Moshe ben Midbar, you bring in a half shekel, plus a kubon, which is the value of which we'll see at the end of this Mishnah, gives you a little bit in excess of the half shekel. That makes that you're sure that you're over, that your coin isn't short of that half shekel. So the kubon just gives you that little extra value to ensure that you get there. That's one of two understandings of Rabbi Meir as to why he requires two kubonot, either practical or maybe because there's a din d'oraita to add in an additional kubon. Now, hanotein sela v'notel shekel. As far as the money in the time of the Mishnah, the sela is equal to a shekel kodesh. The sela of the Mishnah equates to the shekel kodesh of the Torah. The shekel of the Mishnah is equal to a chatzi shekel of Kodesh. So over here, you gave a sela, which is the equivalent of giving in a full shekel of Kodesh. Vinotel shekel, and then you took change. You got back a shekel. A shekel of the Mishnah means you got back a half shekel. Chayav shnei kubonot. You're required to pay two kubonot. Again, here, we'll discuss in the Gemara, is this according to Rabbi Meir? Is it according to Rabbi Meir that they require two kubonot here because you gave in a full shekel of Kodesh, a sela, and you got back a half? So you now exchanged, in a sense, for two coins. So you have to give two kubonot. That could be Rabbi Meir's opinion. Or this could be even according to the Chachamim. Over here, the Chachamim say you transacted twice with Hekdesh. You handed in a full shekel HaKodesh, a sela. So that requires you to give one kubon. Then you ask for a chatzi shekel back, or a shekel of the Mishnah back. So you have to give another kubon to get that shekel back. And so this might be even according to the Chachamim, which would imply that Rabbi Meir would say you have to pay three kubonot in this case, and that would be, we'll see that in the Gemara itself. A shokel, a yad ani, v'yad shcheino, v'yad beniro patur. Someone who gives on behalf of a poor person, for his neighbor, or for his friend, his city mate, he's patur from the kubon. So wait a minute, we just said before that he and his friend get together, they're chayav in kubon. So what's the difference here? The difference here is the next line. Bim hilvan chayav. If he lent them the money, he's chayav. So in the case where he's patur, is a case where he does it as a gift. He does it voluntarily. He pays for himself and for his friend. He pays for himself and the ani, the poor person. But when he's paying for them, he's not expecting them to pay him back. He just does it out of the goodness of his heart. Gives a chatzi shekel for himself and for someone else. In that case, we say he's patur mikubon. Since again, he's paying something that he's not obligated to pay. So we don't force him to throw in the kubon. On the other hand, if he's paying for them and expects to get repaid from them, meaning that he's lending them the money, then he is chayav in the kubon. Now the Mishnah here reads, ha'achim ha'shutafim, the brothers who are partners, the other girsaot. And this is a problem, the Girsa here, as well as where this Mishnah appears in the Bavli twice, I think. It also has the same problem, which is, or it should be achim v'hashutafim, brothers and partners. We'll read it as achim hashutafim. It really makes a difference with the Rambam. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot because he has a different view in Meiser Behema, actually complicates the Mishnah, depending on whether it's Achim HaShutafim or Achim VeHaShutafim. So we're not going to delve into that so deeply, but just be aware that there's this alternative Girsa in the Mishnah that has a big impact according to the Rambam. So now, Achim HaShutafim, Shechayavim B'Kulbon, if they are obligated to give Kulbon, Turim B'Maser Behema, then they don't have to give Maser Behema. Maser Behema is that you give 1/10 of all your animals, new animals, newly born animals over the year. If you are partners, then you are patur from Maser Behema. So partners are patur from Maser Behema, but that partners are chayavin in kulbon. So if you get together and you have a partnership with anyone, doesn't necessarily have to be a brother, but any partnership that you have, that partnership will be poter you from Maser Behema. Animals born to the partnership do not have to give Maser Behema. On the other hand, if you go to give money together for your machate de shekel, you'll have to pay a kulbon because it's really giving a half shekel from you and half shekel from the other individual. You're partners in this partnership, but you still have the independent ownership. On the other hand, if you are chayav in maser behema, then you're patur min kulbon. If you're chayav in maser behema, which means that you are considered to be a single entity, then you are patur min kulbon because when you give in behalf of both of you, then it's like one entity is paying for both of you. Whereas you'll be chayav for maser behema because you are one entity. The Gemara will describe that case when this happens is when you have brothers that inherit their father. If they divide up the estate when they inherit their father and then rejoin together to go into business together, then there they are partners. Partners that already own and separate ownership and then came together. So they're patur mi maser behema, but they're chayav in kulbon, because they are considered to be separate entities. On the other hand, if they never divide up the estate and they continue to manage the estate together of their father, then they remain a single entity, because the entity, the estate, their father's estate remains a single entity, and they're just managing that together. Then in that case, they'll be patur from the kulbon, because it's a single entity giving on behalf of both of them. It's as if their father paid for the two of them. On the other hand, for Maisa Behema, they're going to be chayav, because they only have one ownership. The estate is the owner. The estate becomes basically the single owner here. So I have a mafkamina for kulbon and maiser behema. Brothers are just managers of that estate. Once they've divided it, then they can become like regular partners when they rejoin together. Now, kamahu kulbon. How big is this kulbon? So ma'a kesef. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says it's a ma'a worth of kesef, which is 1/24 of a selah. 1/24 of a sela, which would equate to 1/12 of a chatzi shekel. Since sela is equivalent to a shekel of kodesh, half of that would be the machatzita shekel, and therefore a ma'a would be 1/12 of the machatzita shekel. Whereas according to the chachamim, it's chatzi ma'a, we half ma'a, which is 1/48 of a sela, or 1/24 of a chatzi shekel. Now the Gemara begins. Afa pi she'amru. As far as the ketanim are concerned here, you don't have to give. And if they want to give, they can give voluntarily. So that was the beginning of the Mishnah on Gimel Amud Bet, which is, afal pi she'amru ein mashkanim. You don't take a mashkon from women, avadim, ketanim. Avalim shaklu, mekablim, yadan. If they voluntarily want to give it, they can give it. Now we had already made a deal out of the previous Mishnah that said that as far as ketanim are concerned, we're not going to mashkain them. We don't take a mashkon, but we do ask them for payment. We do ask them to give the chatzi shekel. That was the last Mishnah that we saw in Gimel Amud Bet. That even though we don't take collateral from the ketanim, we do ask them, tovim otan. We ask them to pay their chatzi shekel. From our Mishnah, the diuk sounds the other way around, which is, hali tvoa in tovim. The Mishnah says here, if they give voluntarily, we accept it from them, but we don't demand it from them. So that diuk would go against the previous Mishnah, because here we're saying, ha, the tvoa in tovim. So, hacha atamar tovim. In the previous Mishnah, you said, we do ask them to pay up the chatzi shekel. V'hacha, in our Mishnah here, atamar ein tovim. You say, we don't ask them for it. So how do you reconcile between the two Mishnayot? And Gemara says, no problem. Kan shevi betzarot. Kan shloivi betzarot. It depends on the age of the katan, which is what we discussed yesterday. There are three stages for the katan. It's a katan who's really a minor. Means he's below the age of bar mitzvah, he's below the age of puberty. That's a real minor. That minor, he can give voluntarily, but we do not demand that he gives. There's a second katan, which is between the age of bar mitzvah and 20. So there, he's reached the age of puberty, but he's under the age of 20. In that case, we don't take a mashkon. We don't force him to pay, but we ask him to pay. Proper for him to pay midrabanan, he should pay. But he's not obligated to pay because the obligation of chatzi shekel only starts at 20. So over 20, then he becomes like a quote-unquote gadol. So there are different stages for the minor. A real minor below the age of 13, he can give voluntarily. We don't ask him for anything. Between 13 and 20, we ask him to pay, but we won't take a mashkon. We won't force him to pay. We ask him to pay because midrabanan is chayav in machatzid shekel. Midoraita is not chayav until the age of 20. Once you reach the age of 20, we're going to take a mashkon from you to force you to pay for the chatzia shekel. And that'll be the difference in the Mishnayot. The previous Mishnah is talking about a katan between the age of 13 and 20, and that's why it says your toveya. Our Mishnah is talking about a katan under the age of 13, and that's why it's all voluntary. Hanachri ve'akuti. So Amar Rabbi Ba, which is really Amar Rabbi Abba, third generation Amora. Tipater, you must explain our Mishnah. Kimanda Amar, like the one who says, Kuti ke goy. That's the Girsa of the Yushalmi. It's goy. We have Kinachri in the Girsa oath in front of us. But here, Kimanda Amar, Kuti ke goy. You have to explain our Mishnah that the status of a Kuti is like the status of a goy. De'it palgin. Because we have a machloket about this issue. Kuti kegoy divrei Rabbi. Rabbi is the Tano who believes that a Kuti has the status of a goy. The Kutim were the Shomronim. They were a sect that lived in the Shomron. We know from Sefer Melachim that they converted to Judaism out of fear of the lions that were found or the animals that were killing within them, and they converted to Judaism. Their status is questionable through the period of the Tanaim as to whether their conversion was a true conversion, and that they were practicing Jews, or they converted but they maintained their religion. So here you'll see a machloket Tanaim as to whether the Kutim are goyim. They're considered to be non-Jews because they converted under duress, and they really don't keep the mitzvot, and they worship their god on the Shomron. Or are the Kutim like Israelim? They're Jews. They converted and they're full-fledged Jews. Through the time of the Tanaim, that machloket still exists. The Gemara at one point decides that they're for sure non-Jews. And after that, there's no longer any controversy, meaning that they are definitely not Jews because of what they saw, that they were worshiping Avodah Zarah. As far as the Kutim are concerned, here, the point that Rabbi Abba is making is our Mishnah must follow the opinion of the one who says that a Kuti is like a Goy because our Mishnah puts a Kuti and the Goy into the same category, which is that they may not bring voluntarily Matzchitzita Shekel. They may not bring Karbonot that are obligations. They can only bring voluntary offerings. The fact that he puts the Kuti into the same bucket as the Nechri or as the Goy shows you that he thinks a Kuti has a din of a Goy. So Rabbi Abba makes that point, that's the author of our Mishnah must believe that, and we have a machloket Tanaim about this issue. Whether Kuti Kegoi Divrei Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who's Rabbi's father, Omer Kuti Ki Yisrael Dechol Davar. The Kuti as a full-fledged Jew. So obviously for him, this Mishnah is going to be difficult. The way Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the way he views this Mishnah, is going to be difficult because our Mishnah seems to say that Kuti is like a goy, and therefore cannot be like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, must be like Rabbi. Amar Rabbi Elazar, obviously in the Yerushalmi it's Elazar, meaning missing the Aleph, that's the style of the Yerushalmi. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, who is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, the Amora, second generation Amora, not to be mistaken with the Tana, Rabbi Elazar, this is the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, Matne, Manita, Be Nachrim Rabbi Goyim. Ha, bikutim, lo. So he says that our Mishnah is speaking about goyim, but kutim, it doesn't apply to them. V'tani chayin, we have a support for this idea that the pasuk in Vayikra that talks about bringing karbanot, which is daber el b'nei Yisrael, from Har Telehem, Adam, ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem, mina behima, mina bakar, mina tzon, takrivu et korbanchem. We're talking about the beginning of the parasha that says the people who can bring a karban is an Adam, ki yakriv mikem, from amongst you. So now he says, Adam, that Adam in that pasuk is the rabotata gerim, comes to include gerim, mikem, lotzi et, we have in our Gemara Mumarim, the original text probably had, in the Yerushalmi had Mishumadim. Adam comes to include gerim, that gerim also can bring karbanot without any issue. Mikem tells us, and we learned this also in the Bavli, we had this Gemara earlier, which is Mikem Lotzi et Amumarim Mushmadim, means not from amongst all of Klal Yisrael, but only from a portion of Klal Yisrael. Because a portion of Klal Yisrael can bring, which is that if you are a quote-unquote believer, you can bring karbanot. If you're not a believer, you cannot bring karbanot. Now, the Bavli says that this is only in those cases where we're talking about severe or significant aveirot, which are avodah zarah, chal shabbat farhesia, aveirot that have fundamentals of the faith. And those issues, if you do not keep those mitzvot, or you violate those mitzvot, then you're precluded from being a korban. Anybody else who is choteh, then we encourage them to bring a korban, so they yasim tshuva, that they'll do tshuva and they'll come back. So we don't preclude them from korbanot. So this midem excludes only people who are in that category of mshumadim or mumarim, which is somebody who is violating these fundamental mitzvot of the faith. From this little bright over here, you don't see that the kutim are excluded. The fact that the kutim are not excluded means that they are included. And that's Rabbi Elazar's point, that Mishnah, only goyim are excluded, but kutim are not excluded. Now, how does Rabbi Elazar read our Mishnah? In terms of reading our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar obviously thinks that the Mishnah is not a question on him. So he reads the Mishnah like this, which is, Mishnah mentions in the Reisha, v'nachri, v'kuti, shishakru, ein mikabli mehem. There it explicitly says that it's a nachri and a kuti. We do not accept from them. Then the Mishnah continues and says, "V'ein mikablim miyadam." So that mikablim miyadam, you would think the antecedent is miyadam, the hands of whom is the nachri and the kuti. That's a simple way to read the Mishnah, and that's why the Gemara thinks there's a problem. Rabbi Elazar reads the "ein mikablim miyadam" to mean we do not accept from them the goyim, from non-Jews. That's what we don't accept. The miyadam is not referencing the kuti and the nachri in the previous statement, rather just the nachri. And it's talking about Nachrim in general. So that's how he's going to read the Mishnah in order to get around this problem and say that the latter half of the Mishnah is not talking about Kutim. Now he has a problem which the Gemara is presenting here, which is, why would you need to exclude Nachrim from the second half of the Mishnah? They're not involved in Kinei Zavim, Kinei Zavot. And then the Gemara says, Matnitin Pligei al Rabbi Elazar. Our Mishnah argues on Rabbi Elazar. Our Mishnah does not allow for that explanation that the Kutim have a different status than a Goy. That is because in the Mishnah it says, Ein mikablim miyadam, kinei zavim, vizavot, kinei yoldot, v'chi yesh, kinei zavim vizavot, bigoyim. Do Goyim bring these birds for the issues of zava, zav, yoledet? Those are karbanot only Israel is chayavim in, or that a Kuti would bring. So in our Mishnah said that with regards to machatzita shekel, that we do not, ein mikablim miyadam, that we do not accept shekel or machatzita shekel that they bring voluntarily. That's an achrin the kuti. But then it continues and says that we also don't accept from them, kinei zavim, kinei zavot, kinei yoldot, chatalot hashemot, karbanot. Karbanot that would be associated with mitzvot or the completion of cycles that only apply to Jews, not to non-Jews. So why would a nochri be bringing a korban of kinim? The answer is that it must be talking about the kuti. The fact that we're talking about the kuti and they're precluded from karbanot shows you that our Mishnah thinks that a kuti also has a problem or has an issue. And that's why our Mishnah is against Rabbi Elazar's position. Because otherwise, who is this kinei zavim v'zavot kinei yoldo talking about? Chiyesh kinei zavim v'zavot bigoyim? Ella, what are you going to say? Reisha b'nachrim v'seifa b'kutim. So you're going to have to suggest here that the Reisha is talking about nachrim, meaning the Reisha talking about the machatzita shekel, is talking about the nachrim, and the seifa is talking about the kutim, which is all the karbanot, that they're precluded from them. And that would be against Rabbi Elazar. That's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. The girsa in the Yerushalmi, the original Yerushalmi, the girsa is Reisha Kutim, Seifa Goyim. It's the opposite of this girsa. And it's explaining the latter half of the Mishnah, saying, the Reisha is Kutim, the Kutim is thinking about the Kinim. The Kinim, those offerings, like the Kinei Zav, the Kinei Zavah, the Kinei Yoledet, that's talking about the Kuti. The Seifa is talking about the Goyim, that's talking about the Chataot and Ashamot. Chataot and Ashamot is talking about the Nachri. Va-keini depends on which version you read here. If you have the version that we have in our Gemara, then va-keini is probably not the right version. That's why I got put in parentheses. It really should be keinu. It really is that way. And the Gemara is going to repeat that reisha b'nachrim v'seifa b'kutim. We're going to go along again the same lines that we did before, which is the statement we had before. We're going to make it again. On the other hand, if you have the version of the Yerushalmi, which is the reisha was with nachrim, the seifa was kutim, and the Gemara is going to say, v'akeini, is that really a great case? How does that help you? It doesn't help you in the end anyway, because in the end, it still has the kutim being precluded from Kinei Zavim, Kinei Zavot, and that's against Rabbi Elazar. So the Yara says, okay, you're right. It's Reisha ben Achrim, Seifa Bekutim. It must be that the Reisha, in the case by the Shekel, is talking about Nachrim. Seifa by the Karbonot is talking about the Kutim. I mean, it comes around to the conclusion that was originally stated here, according to the way we have it in our Gemara. So now we have Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So here we have Rabbi Yochanan, the Baal Plukto of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Bitchila, Eimi Kabli Mehem. In the beginning, we do not accept from them, lo davar misuyam, lo davar she'enu misuyam. Do not accept from them something that is defined, discreet, and something that is non-discreet. Ubesof, in the end, mikabel mehem davar she'enu misuyam, the way the Girsa is in our Gemara, we accept from them something that is not discreet, ve'en mikabel mehem davar misuyam, but we don't accept from them something that is discreet. As far as betchila itself, there's two ways to translate it. Betchila could mean in the beginning, when we build the mikdash, when we're putting it together, when we are in the process of building and consecrating the mikdash, that means betchila. Besof means once the Beit Mikdash is already up and in operation, that's what sof means. That's one way to read it. Or betchila can mean lichatchila, that if you come and ask us, we'll tell you this. But sof means if they gave it already, what do we do with it? So it can be read one of those two ways as a betchila and sof. So what Rabbi Yochanan says is in the beginning either means during the building of the Mikdash, or in the beginning of the Chatchil, they come and ask us, we don't accept anything from the Nachri. Not something that's discreet, not something that is not discreet. We won't accept any donation from them. On the other hand, the sof, sof is either b'diavad or it means after the Mikdash is already up in operation, then according to the Bavli, the Girsa that we have in Yerushalmi here is pulled out of the Gemara Arachim and placed in here, which is the Bavli's version of this. The Yerushalmi has a version that is just the opposite. But according to the Bavli's version, according to Rabbi Yochanan, then we will accept from them things that are not discreet. You know, if they donate money or something that will be pooled together with others, then we don't worry about it, because then the shame of the Nachri is not obvious over here. Whereas if they give a discreet item, where the name of the Nachri will be associated with it, then we do not accept it. So the Gemara gives an example there of the Kalei Orev, the spikes that they used to put on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim to keep the Orvim from landing on it. So if he comes and gives that discreet piece, and I gotta put it up there, then there's something there that the Nachri gave that's visible, and it's being utilized as is that he gave it. It's not being pooled with other pools of money. So that's the way that the Bavli learns it. The Yerushalmi learns it just the opposite, and says that if they give a discreet item, we accept it from them. What we won't let them do is pull the money until the money of Bnei Yisrael, which will go to either towards Bedek HaBayit or towards the Karbonot. We don't want them to have a part of the building of the Mikdash. We don't want them to have a part of the Karbonot at Zibur. And therefore, the Yerushalmi has the exact opposite Girsa in Rabbi Yochanan, saying that Mekabelim mehem davar misuyam, ei mekabelim mehem davar she'enu misuyam. All right, I'll have an afkamina later in the Gemara when we read it. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, on the other hand, believes Amar ben betchila ben besof, ei mekabelim mehem lo davar misuyam lo davar she'enu misuyam. According to Rish Lakish, we never accept anything from them. The Gemara says matnita plige al Rabbi Yochanan. Our Braita here argues on Rabbi Yochanan, as our Braita says ein mekabelim mehem Hekdesh unedava the Bedek HaBayit. It says we don't accept from them Hekdesh and Nidava voluntary donations to the Bedek HaBayit. So here the Braita makes no distinction between early on, later. It says we don't accept, period. From a Nachri, we don't accept a donation. So if that's the case, that's against Rabbi Yochanan's position, who says that there is a difference between Betzchila versus Besof. So the answer will be Potter Law. Potter Law means that he will explain it. Hechidami, what's the case of this Braita, in order that it won't be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan? Ben Betchila, Ben Besof. You're right, the Braita does not distinguish between Tchila Tzof, Ubavad, as long as it is Devar Misuyam. That's according to the Girsa of the Bavli, as long as it's a discrete item. You're right, the Braita says there's no distinction between beginning or end, you never can take the donation. What's that? That's talking about a discrete item. Rabbi Yochanan agrees by discrete items, we don't never accept it from them. So that'll be the case here. It's a discrete item. And the Braita is talking about a discrete item. So that's through Kimta that we'll put into that Braita. Or according to the Girsa of the Shalmi, it'll be Ivad Davar Shenu Misuyam. That as long as it's something that is not a Davar Misuyam, because that will follow the Girsa of the Yerushalmi. You could see that Mesorat HaShas has that other Girsa. As long as it's a davar she'enu misuyam, then it would not be accepted, and that's according to the Girsa of the Yerushalmi. Now, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar, ben betchila, ben besof, emikam lehem, lo davar misuyam, lo davar she'enu misuyam. Nita plige of Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Now we have a Mishnah. It's a problem for Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Tani hakol shavin shehein nodrin v'nidarim. The Mishnah in Arachim. The Mishnah in Arachim says everyone is equal. Everyone is equal that they can be noder. They can give a neder. Neder saying they take a neder to give a donation to the Mikdash. And nidarim. They can be the object of a neder in the Mikdash. So what is that? Noder and nidarim in Arachim sense is that a person says, if my erech is to the Mikdash, we go look up in the tables and we say, what's their age? What's their gender? And they give the money. They also can say is, I want to give your erech to the Mikdash. That means they are nerachim. Someone else could be nerach. In that case, there's machloket. We'll see that in the Gemara in a little bit. About whether marichin and nerachim, can that apply only to Jews? Or that applies to non-Jews as well. But marichim and nerachim means, first of all, marich means you are the one who's making the donation through the erech. And the nerach is the object on which we are assuming the erech. Who is being looked up in the table? Who is the object that you say I want to give their erech from? So noder and nidar, I would have said the same thing. Nodarim, no, and nidarim is someone says, I'm going to give this value to the Mikdash, or I'm going to give the value of such an individual to the Mikdash. So nodar and nidar seems to be talking in the same terms as arachin, which is that you're promising to give to the Mikdash, which is a question, who's the object of your neder? Are you saying I'm going to give my value to the Mikdash, or I'm saying I'm going to give Ploni's value to the Mikdash? That's noder and nidar. Now that would be against Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish because here it says hakol. Kol means Jews and non-Jews alike can give neder. Neder is talking about monetary donations to the Mikdash. Here it's saying that everybody's included in that grouping of people who are allowed to give nidarim or donations through a neder to the Mikdash.
And hakol shavim means even though we argue with regards to marichim and nerachim as to whether the goy is included or not, hakol shavim, everybody agrees by nidarim and nidarim that the goy is included.
So therefore, it's a problem for Reish Lakish. Rav Shlakish's first attempt at answer is patala ola. Talking about a karban ola. It's not talking about donations to the Mikdash in terms of monetary sense. Karban ola is a voluntary offering. Something that can be brought in the Mikdash is a voluntary offering. And he's saying that you can be noder v'nidar. He's talking about that you're allowed to bring a karban ola. And we know from our Mishnah already that that's true. That an achri and a kuti, according to our Mishnah, they can't bring these karbanot, but they're allowed to bring karbanot that are nidar v'nidav. What are karbanot that are nidar v'nidav? An ola is one of those karbanot that can be brought in a voluntary offering. There is a machloket. When we say that you can bring karbanot that are noder v'nidav, that does that mean only an ola? Or does that mean an ola, shlamim, or anything else that's a voluntary offering? So over here, the Gemara says ola. It could mean ola because it means only an ola. Or it can say ola is an example of a karban that's brought, but neder v'nidav, but also would be true of a shlamim. So now, the Gemara says, okay, necha nodrin ola. Makes sense when you're noder and ola. A person can obligate themselves to bring in ola. About nidarin ola? Since when can you volunteer someone else to bring an ola? You can't say about someone else, you know what, Ploni's going to bring an ola. What do you mean Ploni's going to bring an ola? You can't obligate someone else to bring an ola. When you're talking about money and monetary offerings, you can obligate yourself in that offering, both about yourself and about someone else. But when it comes to an ola, how could someone else be involved in the process? It only could be in a case where you're obligating yourself. How do you explain the word noder and nidar in the context of ola? Our Gemara is Ella, but in the Yushami it would always read La, because they don't put the Aleph in the front. It's La. Bisha Amar Israel. The case here is where Israel says, Hare Alai Ola. Says, I'm going to bring an Ola. Bishama Nachri. And an Nachri standing by hears him. V'amar, Mashi Amar Zeh Alai. What he said, I'm going to take care of. So now the Nachri obligates himself to bring the Ola that this Jew just said he's going to bring. So Reuven says, I'm going to bring a korban olah. I'm obligating myself to bring a korban olah. Hare alai olah, Reuven says. And then Tony, standing next to him, says, you know what? I'm going to bring that on your behalf. You're chayav in that olah. I'm going to take care of it for you. So that's how you have a case of nidar. The noder here was Reuven. The nidar, Tony, he basically ended up assuming the obligation of the olah for Reuven. So that is the case. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Okay, so let's assume that you're right, that that's the case. Ve'eino mevi ima nisachim. Don't you, when you bring a korban olah, you have to bring the libations along with it. So here the Nachri, when he brings this olah to the Mikdash, also brings nisachim. Umotar nisachim lo l'kli sharetinun. This is from later on in the Masechta in Shkalim, that leftovers from Nesachim, if you have excess money with regards to the Nesachim that you brought, you bring with the money the Nesach, and the excess money then goes towards purchasing utensils for the Mikdash. Now what happens here? This Nachri shows up, brings an Olah, and he brings with it the Nesachim, and he gives money to pay for the Nesachim. He has too much money. There was more than necessary to pay for the Nesachim. What do they do with that excess capital? It goes towards the Kli Sharet. Nimtza mevi davar misuyam. So now here, this depends on whose girsa you had before. If you have the girsa of the Yerushalmi before, then the Yerushalmi before said that Rabbi Yochanan allows you to give a davar misuyam, but he does not allow you to give davar shenu misuyam. So that if you follow that Yerushalmi, this is actually a rhetorical question. Nimtza mevi davar misuyam? Is he really bringing something that is a davar misuyam? The davar she enu misuyam. If it's not a davar misuyam, it's a question on Reish Lakish and on Rabbi Yochanan in that case.
Whereas according to the Bavli, the way you would read this is nimtza mevi davar misuyam as a statement. The statement is then if he's buying a kli sharet with that excess, then you end up with a davar misuyam. And a davar misuyam is a problem both for Reish Lakish and for Rabbi Yochanan. So what you end up with is, according to the Yushalmi, it's a rhetorical question saying this isn't a davar misuyam. He only owns a portion of this item. He's not going to pay for the whole Kli Sharet. And therefore, it's a Davar She'enu Misuyam. And it's a question on Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Whereas, the way the Bavli reads it, is that this is a Davar Misuyam. A Kli Sharet is a Davar Misuyam. It's a discrete object. And therefore, it's also a question on Rabbi Yochanan. In either case, what the Gemara is pointing out is that this is not only a problem for Reish Lakish, this is also a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. And we're going to have to come up with an answer that deals with this issue both for Reish Lakish and for Rabbi Yochanan.
So Heitiv, Rabbi Yosei bar Rabbi Bon. Heitiv means Heishiv. So he responded to the question that we asked. I mean, he's asking a question, but he's really asking a question on the question. So that becomes a response, which is, Yosei bar Rabbi Bon, v'hataninan. Don't we have a Mishnah, our Mishnah Nerachin, that says, the way we have in our Mishnah is Nerachin, which doesn't make sense over here. The Girsa here should be Marichin. Marichim. V'orchim lo the bedek habaitinun. So if you say that you're allowed to be Marich, and Marichin includes everybody. Everybody can be Marich. Machloket in the Gemara, in Arachin, as to whether non-Jews can be Marich or Nerach. But assuming that they can be Marich, you can donate a value to the Mikdash. Then when you donate that monies of the Arachin to the Mikdash, doesn't it go to Bedek Abayit? Heich ma da'atamar taman. Kamo, like what you said over there, l'shamayim hu mitkavein, the goy who's giving this money thinks he's giving it, donating it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'meilehen hein bayin lebedek habayit, and by themselves they end up in the bedek habayit. This goy who gives a donation of erech and marichin, when he gives it, he thinks he's giving a donation to God. All right, when it shows up in the Mikdash, where does it really end up? It ends up in bedek habayit. So as far as the goy is concerned, he gave it to God. Well, what do we do with something that you give to God? It ends up in bedek habayit. The fact that it ended up in Bedek Abayit is just the outcome of his donation. But his donation, as far as he's concerned, was given to Hashem, the equivalent of a korban. And now it just got diverted to Bedek Abayit. Because that's what we do with Arachin. But that may not have been his intent originally. So Kainat Amar Afhacha. Say the same thing over here with regards to the leftovers of Nesachim. The Shemaim Hu Mitkavein. And really here it's true. When he gave the monies for the Nesach, he thought all that money was going to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He donated it as if it's going on the Mizbeach. Umelehen, and by themselves, hein bayin, the bedek habayit, or really here it should be melehen bayin, the kli sharet. They end up in the kli sharet. Based on that, you don't have a problem. Because just like over there, it ends up being for bedek habayit, even though it was monies that going to bedek habayit. Nevertheless, we say that his intent was l'shamayim, and it's fine if it ends up in bedek habayit. So say the same thing here. His intent by the Nesachim was l'shamayim, and it ends up in kli sharet. Fine. Right, so now the continuation of the Gemara will depend on whether you're in the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, and then therefore the girsa here is very difficult, depending on which way we think the Gemara is going here. So at this point, we've answered on behalf of Reish Lakish
and Rabbi Yochanan
as to why we allow him to bring the Nesachim, even though the residual of the Nesachim will end up in Kli Sharet, because when he brings the Nesachim, it's Rosh Hashanah Shamayim. That's what he's thinking. He's thinking he's bringing it as a Korban, that in fact that if it doesn't turn out to be a Korban, it defaults to become a Kli Sharet, that's not what he has in mind, and therefore he doesn't consider it to be a donation to the Mikdash. So that would be the solution for Reish Lakish and for Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the Gemara has a very difficult girsa over here, which is, I, Avodah, Reish Lakish.
What does Reish Lakish do with this? Now, the difficulty with the Girsa is because we just gave an answer for Reish Lakish. He just dealt with the question that we had. So the Ma'avid law seems to ask a question without any reference as to what it's asking about. So you can look in the Gra. The Gra eliminates it from the Girsa because it doesn't make any sense. But rather, he reads this as Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish patar la, and Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, "Lalachem v'lanu livnot beit elokeinu," and the Perush being, this is the source for Reish Lakish's opinion. He says that the pasuk, the Pashtuna pasuk, is that we don't accept any donations for Bedeka Bayit from non-Jews. That's my source. That's the way the Gra reads it. Others read it as Ma'avad Law, Reb Shimon ben Lakish. How does he reconcile with the Mishnah? And then Patar Law, he brings the pasuk. But that's really not a solution to the problem because it still leaves the question of the Mishnah open. So there is another Girsa, the Girsa of the Yushalmi, which seems to make the most sense, which is Ma'avad Reb Shimon Lakish. The question is not about questions that we've asked until now, but about our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Mekabli mehem nidarim v'nidavot. We're allowed to accept from them nidarim and nidavot. That's because the general style of Yushalmi is to bring down the words of a Mishnah before it asks on that Mishnah. So the fact that the Gemara here says Ma'avad law out of the blue means that it's obviously referencing to the Mishnah that we have. Now, the Mishnah that we have does not have these words in it, because as I mentioned before, these Mishnayot, the Mishnayot are Bavli. But it must have been that the Mishnayot are Rishalmi had words in it, somewhere like, Aval nidarimu didavot mikablim biyadam. But we do accept donations from them. The Gemara is assuming that those donations are monetary donations to the Berek Abayit. So Rabbi Shimon Lakish, how is he going to deal with that in our Mishnah? Potter la be'ola. He answers, instead of having the pasuk here, but rather he has the word ola here. And that is his solution to say our Mishnah is talking about a korban. That what's brought in the Mikdash, when we say we accept nidarim and nidavot from them, that's talking about korbanot. That's not talking about Berek Abayit. That's not talking about donations to the Binyan HaMikdash. That's talking about korbanot. And that's how I'll read our Mishnah. And now, the Gemara uses that line afterwards as the beginning of the next section, which is, we have the quote from the Mishnah, which is, Lolachem v'lanu livnot beit elokeinu. So Rabbi Chilkia Amar Rabbi Simon. So Rabbi Chilkia is a fourth generation Amora. It's quoting from Rabbi Simon, who we know as Rabbi Shimon Pazi, second or third generation Amora. She'al me'ata. I want to know now the answer to this question. Based on what we said in our Mishnah, I have the following question, which is, if we extrapolate what you're saying, then we should not accept from them la mata mayim for the water channel, for the aqueduct, udochomata ir for the wall of the city of Yerushalayim, migdalota, and its towers. Hashem, because of the pasuk that says, Velachem ein chelek. What he's quoting over here is pasuk from Nehemiah Perek Bet Pasuk Chaf, which is Ashiv otam davar, from Arlehem. This is a response to the Kutim who want to help out. It says, Hashem will help us succeed. And we as servants will get up and build it. You have no portion, no contributions, or remembrance within Yerushalayim. So that pasuk seems to indicate that they're not only precluded from donating to the Mikdash, but they're also precluded from donating to Yerushalayim. So what Rabbi Chilkia says is, if I extrapolate the way that the Mishnah presents the halacha based on that pasuk, and I take that other pasuk in Nehemiah, then I would come to the conclusion that they're not allowed to participate in the Amata Mayim, the Chumata Yeru, Migdalotea. The Gemara leaves that unresolved. Teiku, Tzarechiyun. They don't answer the question, but he says that would be the extrapolation from what we learned in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues. Ve'elu chayavin bikulbon. But the next part of the Gemara is very difficult in terms of the Girsaot. Starting over here with the Tane. Over here, the Gra eliminates most of the Gemara and rereads it. If you look in the Gimel of the Gra says, V'hachi Garcina, this is what you should read in the Gemara. My time with Rabbi Meir. What is the position of Rabbi Meir premised on? Sava Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir believes a shokel shiklo shalem. Someone who brings a full shekel, shu chayav bishnei kolbanot. He's chayav in two kolbanot. Da'amar Rabbi Meir. Keshem shishiklo Torah, kach kolbanot Torah. Just like the shekel he gives is chayav in a Torah, so too is the kolbon. And therefore, if you bring a single shekel for two individuals, each individual in that shekel, each machatzi the shekel is chayav in a kulbon. So if you bring a single shekel for you and your friend, you'd pay two kulbanot, not the one kulban that the chachamim say. And that's because Rabbi Meir thinks that each half shekel is chayav in a kulbon. Because the Tani, Rabbi Meir Omer, kemin matbeya shel eish, because Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu a min matbeya shel eish, a coin that was made out of fire. They took it out from under his throne, shirt Moshe, v'amalo, zeit, no. They have to give this coin, kazet. Like this, they have to give. Because there it says zeit. And the Gemara darshins any time that there is the word zeh, zeh means that you're pointing at it. So therefore, it means that Hashem showed Moshe a coin made out of fire. And since we have to get to that exact amount of what is shown in the coin of Moshe, therefore, when we give a machatzita shekel, we add on a little cool bone on top of it in order to be sure that we hit that number of a chatzi shekel. So that's the way that the Gra reads this Gemara. The alternative girsa is a girsa that's found in the Yerushalmi, which is that Elu chayavim bekulon vechulei. Then Ashokel Ayad Eved Ayad Isha Ayad Kohen Ayad Katan Patur Matnita de Rabbi Meir, which is the girsa in the Gemara that we have, but rather should be Matnita de Loka Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah does not follow Rabbi Meir's position, because according to Rabbi Meir, even if you gave Machatzita Shekel on behalf of someone who is Patur, me Machatzita Shekel, you would still have to give the cool bone. The Chachamim say we don't give anything. That's what our Mishnah says. If you give him a half an Isha, Katan, and Eved, then you don't have to give a cool bone. Whereas Rabbi Meir Amar, Afo Pishin Shiklo Torah, Hubano Torah, even though his Shekel is not chayav min haTorah, meaning Isha, Eved, and Katan, who are not chayavim in shekel min haTorah, nevertheless, the kubon is min haTorah, that when you give him a chatzi shekel, you have to add on the kubon. That's the definition according to Rabbi Meir. And that is because Rabbi Meir believes that the kubon is attached to the chatzi shekel, and therefore every chatzi shekel has to come with a kubon. And then, based on this, here's the Gemara continues and says in our Mishnah that when he continues, it says, Ayadol v'yad chaveiro, if he gives a shekel for himself and his friend, chayav b'kubon echad. He's chayav in one kubon. Rabbi Meir, shtei kubonot. You have to pay two kubonot. Savar Rabbi Meir holds, benotein shiklo shalem, shu patur min hakubon. Then when he gives a full shekel, he is patur min hakubon. Now, patur min hakubon here means not entirely patur min hakubon, because Rabbi Meir believes that when you give machatzita shekel, you have to give a kubon with it. The only thing that his point is that he disagrees that they have to give three kubonot here. According to Rabbi Meir, each person brings a chatzi shekel, has to bring a kubon anyway. So these two individuals who shared together and brought a single coin between them, they'll each have to bring a kubon along with that coin, so that's two kubonot. The Chachamim say if you give a shekel shalem for you and your friend, you have to pay one kubon. But Rabbi Meir says two. Rabbi Meir doesn't ask for a third kubon in order to break the shekel in half in order to pay for the splitting of that shekel. And that's based on Rabbi Meir's shita, that kubon has nothing to do with the paying the fees in order to break the coin down, but rather it has to do with the fact that you are chayav to bring a kubon no matter what. And that's because Amar Rabbi Meir can mean matbea shalei shotzia kodesh bochum itachik kisei kvodo ve'erel Moshe. Took out a coin with that image, showed it to Moshe, and Amar, lo, zeyitnu. This is what they have to give. Kazeyitnu. They have to give exactly this amount. And the kubon there is just to make up that differential. So therefore, when you bring a full shekel, you have two chatzi shekels in it. That's not what we're worried about. We're about the total value of each one of those individuals. So each one of them bring a kubon to ensure that he got his chatzi shekel. But for breaking that into two chatzi shekels, that they don't have to pay any money. Therefore, Rabbi Meir believes that you have two kubonot in a case where you bring a shekel shalem, and the Chachamim believe that you have one kubon when you have a shekel shalem. But in the other case where you bring it on behalf of someone who is not chayav in chatzi shekel, the Chachamim say there you bring no kubon. But Rabbi Meir believes that you still bring shtei kubonot, one kubon for yourself and one kubon for the individual who is not chayav. Now that's all min haTorah for Rabbi Meir. It might be that midrabanan, Rabbi Meir agrees to the rabbanan that we do give a kubon in order to pay the money changers to break the coin down. But min haTorah, everybody brings a kubon. That's both in the case where you bring it on behalf of someone who is not chayav, as well as in the case where you bring it together with someone who's chayav. Each of you are chayav in a kubon to come along with the machatzita shekel. Whereas for the rabbanon, when it's someone who's patur, you bring no kubon. And if it's someone that's chayav and you're giving a full shekel between you, then you have to bring a kubon to pay for the breakage when they break it down into two machatzit shekel. Their opinions derive from a fundamental difference in how they view kubon. Rabbi Meir views kubon as making up for the deficiency in the chatzi shekel, because the silver that you're using is not absolutely pure silver, so there's some deficit there, so we use the kubon to fill in for that deficit. Whereas the Chachamim view the kubon as simply being a fee or a charge for the changing of the shekel into chatzi shekel. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Natan Sela, a person who gave a Sela of the Mishnah is equivalent to a full shekel of Kodesh. The Tol shekel of the Mishnah is a chatzi shekel of the Torah. So he gave a Sela, which is the equivalent of full shekel of Kodesh, and he took change back of a chatzi shekel in a Torah, which is a shekel in the time of the Mishnah. Chayav shnei kubanot. He is chayav two kubanot when he does that. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat that we bumped into before a second generation Amor in Eretz Yisrael. Did Rabbi Meir here? That must be authored by Rabbi Meir. Ditanyo, because we have a brayta which we quoted above, which was Elu Chayavim B'Chabon, Echad, Rabbi Meir Amar, Shnei Kulbanot. Rabbi Meir believes that people are Chayav in two. So that mentioned in the Mishnah that when you give a sell and you take a shekel back, you get two Kulbanot, that is the Shita to Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, Amar Rav, there's a change in the gear, so it's Amar Rav, which is Amar Rav, but it really should be Rav Amar, Divrei Akolhi. That's not only according to Rabbi Meir, but rather it's Divrei Akol, and Amar Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Meir, Echad Shekel Shunotain, the shekel that he gives, meaning the Machatita shekel he gives, he has to give a Kulbon, Echad Shekel Shunotain, Ve'echad Shekel Shunotel, and the change that he takes back, the Machatita shekel he gets back, he has to pay a Kulbon for that, Ve'echad the Divrei Torah. And he has to pay a third kulbon based on that the Torah says, or what Rabbi Meir told us before, that every chatzi shekel comes with a kulbon with it. According to Rabbi Meir, there are three kulbonot over here. You have one for when you gave in the sela, one for when you get the change, plus one to make whole on the machatita shekel so it matches up to the Torah. The Gemara says, El tate de Rav gimel kulbonot inun? According to Rav, there are actually three kulbonot here. And the Gemara answers, yes. Ato Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Shmur bar Rabbi Yitzchak. When Rabbi Yirmiya came, he said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak, b'shem Rav, in the name of Rav, shlosha kulbanot inun. There are three kulbanot here according to Rabbi Meir. Echad shekel shunotain, ve'echad shekel shunotel. One is the shekel that he gives, meaning the machatzita shekel that he gives in. One is the machatzita shekel that he takes back. And v'chad l'devar Torah. And one is the sexual kulbon, that is l'devar Torah. So that's the way to read it based on the girsa that we have in front of us in our Gemara, which is basically of a machlok between Rabbi Lazar and Rav, as to whether when the Mishnah says, when you give in a selah, and you get back a chatzi shekel, there the Mishnah says that you pay two kulbanot in that case. Is the reason that you're paying two kulbanot because this is according to Shitat Rabbi Meir, which is the position of Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat, that Rabbi Meir believes that you pay two kulbanot whenever you give in a full shekel, and the Chachamim believe you only pay one, so therefore our Mishnah is a libo de Rabbi Meir. Or the other hand, you have Rav. Rav who believes, no, that's a divrei akol. Even the Chachamim in that case agree that you pay two kulbanot. And Rabbi Meir in that case thinks you pay three kulbanot. He actually has an extra kulban above that of the Chachamim. And therefore our Mishnah is divrei akol. Everybody agrees you have a minimum of two kulbanot that are paid in that case. But Rabbi Meir just adds on a third kulban. So that's a machlokas between Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat and Rav as to whether our Mishnah is the Shita to Rabbi Meir, and that's why when you give in a sela and get a shekel back, you pay two kulbanot. Or is it the Divrei Akol, and even the Chachamim agree? And Rabbi Meir would say in that case, not only do you give the two kulbanot, you actually give a third kulban. So that's the way to read it based on the girsa that we have in front of us. On the other hand, the girsa in the Yerushalmi is slightly different, and it goes like this. Natan sela litol shekel. You gave in a sela to take back a shekel, like in our Mishnah, chayev shtei kulbanot. Amar Rabbi Lazar, to Rabbi Meir he. That is according to Rabbi Meir. To Rabbi Meir Amar. Because Rabbi Meir believes, Echad Shekel Shehunotel, that when you go in and give a sela and you get a shekel of change back, then you pay a kulban for that change, Vechad Dvar Torah, and then you give one for Dvar Torah, meaning that you have to give a kulban to make up the deficit in your chatzi shekel. Rav Amar, Rav says, no, Divrei Akolhi, it's Divrei Akol. And basically, the gears of the Yerushalmi flips around that what we have presented under Rav is what's written by Rabbi Elazar, and what's written under Rabbi Elazar is really by Rav. And therefore, the reason that Rabbi Elazar believes that Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah is because Rabbi Meir believes that when you give in a sela and get a shekel back, in that case, you pay one kulban for the shekel you took, and one kulban for Dvar Torah, for the kulban to make up the deficit in the chatzi shekel that you gave. Rav comes along and says, no, it's Divrei Akolhi because Echad sela notein, Echad shekel shu notein. Even the Chachamim agree, you get paid two kulbanot here. One for the sela, the full shekel HaKodesh that you gave in, and one kulban for the chatzi shekel that you're going to get back. So the Chachamim agree in that case. Now, the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, aldate de Rav, then shlosha kulbanot inun. According to Rabbi Meir, there'll be three kulbanot, because he agreed to the Chachamim that when the Chachamim, you give a sela and noteno shekel, you get two kulbanot, then Rabbi Meir would have to add on the one for Divrei Torah, the one to make it whole. And based on that, you would have shlosha kulbanot inun. And then Ata Rabbi Yirmiya, and then along comes Rabbi Yirmiya in the name of Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, b'shem Rav, that shlosha kulbanot inun, and Hochanami, echad sela shu notein, the sela that he gives, echad shekel shu notel, and the change he gets, v'echad the Dvar Torah, according to Rabbi Meir. Okay, now we have a quote to define our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, this quote is actually from the continuation of the Mishnah in Bichol Roth. The question is of where its placement. The way we have in our Gemara, it's placed now, to come explain the Mishnah. The way the Girsata Yerushalmi has it is that it's actually placed later in the Mishnah after the statements of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll read the statements of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, and then we'll come back and add this in, which is, you have a machloket here between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan with regards to the brothers. And that's because, basically, you know this information from Bechorot, which is, in the case of the brothers as shutafim, how do they become partners? How do these brothers become partners? They inherited the estate. What makes them into partners then? If they keep everything in the estate is the single owner of all the property. The only way they become shutafim is if they actually divided the estate and then joined together in a partnership. So now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat says, "V'hein shechulku gidiim keneged tayashim, v'tayashim keneged gidiim." That's only if they divided up the estate, not along of you get two of this, I get two of this, but rather that we divide it by different species. You take all the kids, I'll take all the goats. You take all the goats, I'll take all the kids. Meaning that they did not divide it up evenly. But avelim chulku gidiim keneged gidiim, v'tayashim keneged tayashim. They really divided everything evenly. You take these kids, I'll take these kids. You take those goats, I'll take these goats. Then hu chulku mishar rishona. Then we have what's called here breira, that the division of the estate is what their ownership was all along. In the end, they both own half of the estate. If you just divide the estate in half, half the money this way, half the money that way, half the goats this way, half the goats that way, then that's basically what the division of the estate was. And you would say as if you never divided the estate, because the estate should have divided that way automatically. And all you're doing by setting aside two kids for you, two kids for me, is just defining what belongs to whom. But that's not really a division of the partnership. And therefore, if you rejoin in a partnership, it's as if you never broke up the estate. So that's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that the only time the estate is broken up is when you divide the estate not along the lines of everything evenly, this for this, but rather when you have offsets, I'll take this and that's the value of this, so you'll take some of these other things that have that same value. That's a real division of the estate. And then if they rejoin together, you have shutafim. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says, afilu chulgu gidim keneged gidim, utayashim keneged tayashim. Even if they divide the state evenly along the lines of every species, each one gets half of them, they are kiluku chotein. They're like buyers because it's as if they split the estate now. And therefore, they're patur min aser, because when you buy something, when you buy a behema, there is no maaser behema. Now, if they also rejoin and bring into a partnership, the children born to those animals will also be patur min maaser behema, because now they are shutafin. If they keep them alone, then the animals that they took out of the estate will not be chayav in maaser behema, but the animals born to them will be chayavim in maaser behema. Go'ahu d'tanina, taman, because we have a mishnah over there in Bechorot, alokuach, v'shinitein lo mamatana, someone who purchases an animal, or was given an animal as a gift, patur min maaser behema. He does not have to give maaser behema. And now, as a continuation of that Mishnah in Bechorot, we go back to the piece in the beginning of this Gemara, which is, Achim ha-shutafim shechayvim b'kolbon, u'puturim imaser beima. What is the case when these achim who are partners are chayavim kolbon and patur imaser beima? They have to give a kolbon because they are separate entities, but they're patur imaser beima because they are separate entities and joined to a partnership. That's a case, kishichilku, they divided up the estate, v'chazru v'nishtatfu, and then they got together again as a partnership. Shechayavim imaser beima u'puturim a kolbon. What's the case where they are chayav in maaser behema and patur from a kolbon? That's b'shelo chilku. That's when they never divided up the estate. So either that is the continuation of the Mishnah Bechorot, and that's giving us the rest of the information about this, or as our Gemara has it, it's the introduction to the machloka between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan as to what does it mean to split the estate and then to rejoin it together afterwards. Okay, we'll stop over here.